Several weeks ago, I had lunch with two longtime friends. They are the kind of friends that everyone should have, people who will give themselves to others without asking whether it's in their advantage or not. We had not seen each other for a while, and they decided they would gift me with some of the music that they have come to love. Both of these are folks who were raised in the church but rarely attend worship anymore. They are among those who consider themselves deeply spiritual and deeply faithful. And indeed, their life gives every evidence of that. But they are not regulars in church anymore, in part because the church they have seen around them is not the church they remember from growing up. It is a church that has become bigoted and biased and full of hatred and exclusion. And so they gave me a small CD called Mercy Land, Hymns for the Rest of Us, a collection of hymns by popular singers today that are intended to give evidence of a faith that is generous and hospitable, inclusive, welcoming, and always gracious. I listened to that CD more than once as I drove to a meeting in Binghamton this week, drove there and back, and was captured by the following words by Emmylou Harris. Someday, perhaps, we'll play it so you can hear her singing it, and I will not attempt to ruin it by singing it for you. I will simply read the words. It's in the style of a good old-fashioned country song that tells the story of one and then a second person and then begins to shift the focus back to the listener, to include all of us in the imagery that she creates in this song entitled, I Didn't Know It Was You. She never wanted a baby. It would just complicate her life. But after years of wine and roses, she became somebody's wife. And he had always dreamed of children, so she reluctantly gave in. And when she held her newborn daughter, she felt her life finally begin. And she cried, my darling, please forgive me. I've been lost and I've been blind, trying to fill the empty places while you've been waiting all this time. One true thing is all I want, one pure light to shine on through. Oh, my darling, please forgive me. I didn't know it was you. He never thought he would marry. Too many women to explore. And even standing at the altar, he knew somehow he wanted more. Until the night he almost lost her. He kneeled beside her bed and cried for all the love he never gave her. He felt so ashamed inside. And he cried, my darling, please forgive me. I've been lost and I've been blind, trying to fill the empty places while you've been waiting all this time. One true thing is all I want, one pure light to shine on through. Oh, my darling, please forgive me. I didn't know it was you. We walk this road in trouble with an ache inside our souls. We can't hide it with religion. We can't buy it off with gold. And the pleasures we all reach for, they're just masters of disguise, while there is power in the glory of what lies right before our eyes. Oh, dear Father, please forgive us. We've been lost and we've been blind, trying to fill the empty places while you've been waiting all this time. One true thing is all we want, one pure light to shine on through. Oh, dear Father, please forgive us. We didn't know it was you. Today marks the first Sunday in the season of Lent, a time in the Christian calendar often thought of in terms of self-denial, self-sacrifice, discipline, voluntary deprivation. Twitter is now tracking the most popular items people are claiming to be giving up for Lent this year. Based on nearly 100,000 tweets, here are the leading items at the moment that people are foregoing. Chocolate, there went the bag. Twitter, school, alcohol, social networking, swearing, soda, sweets, fast food, junk food, chips, meat, homework, coffee, and in 15th place, Lent itself. Looking over the complete top 100 list, here are some of my other favorites of things people have chosen to give up for this season of Lent. They say they're giving up you, work, stuff, boys, winter, religion, sarcasm, breathing, money, and the list goes on. You can find it yourself. A second approach to Lent, of course, is not about giving things up, but about taking things on, becoming more intentional and more regular with our spiritual practice, striving to do good for others in some specific way, practicing forgiveness, anger management, reconciliation. But I want to suggest a third approach to Lent, that of emptying ourselves in order to make room for God, room for God's light and love and grace. Sister Joan Chittister describes it this way: Lent is a time of growth, not of discipline for its own sake. The rule of Benedict doesn't ask for great Lenten penances. The rule asks us simply to read more, pray more, reflect more. Lent reminds us, she says, of all the riches of life that good things can smother if we don't empty out the cluttered closets of our hearts and give the meaning of life special attention through good reading, deep prayer, a consciousness of the soul. The purpose of Lent, she concludes, is to refreshen the basics of life, to fill our empty cells with meaning. People, she adds, fear a sense of emptiness. We want to be busy about important things, but emptiness is not necessarily sinister. Lent begs us to empty our lives of the trivial and the superficial so we can come to the things that last: family, prayer, rich ideas, concern for the globe, the mind of Christ for the human condition. In another spot, she retells the story, an ancient story of a visitor who came seeking wisdom from a Zen master. But instead of listening, the visitor kept giving his own thoughts and talking about his own concerns. After a while, the master, as would be the custom, served tea. He poured tea into the visitor's cup until it was full. And then he kept on pouring and pouring and pouring until the visitor couldn't stand it any longer. "Don't you see my cup is full?" the visitor said. "It's not possible to put any more in." "Just so," said the master. finally ceasing his pouring. And like this cup, you are filled up with your own ideas. How can you expect me to give you wisdom unless you first empty your cup? Lent, Sister Joan concludes, is the process of emptying our cups so that we can fill ourselves with the things that really count in life. So Jesus goes off into the wilderness alone to fast and to pray. For 40 days and 40 nights, he empties himself until all that's left is a rock-solid, absolute trust in and clarity about God, a clarity about what's important in life and what isn't. Like Jesus, you and I are tempted often, especially when we are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. We are tempted to get our lives back under control by taking matters into our own hands, by grabbing after power and wealth and great acclaim and recognition. But Jesus shows us that the path to God and true happiness in life, it's much simpler than all those things we lust after and think will ease our troubles and worries and satisfy our hungers and our egos, which are essentially insatiable and never-ending. Grabbing and clutching and clawing and compromising and selling out cannot possibly bring us close to the God who is most fully revealed through self-emptying. First, in leaving the safety of heaven to come to earth in the person of Jesus. And then as Jesus himself, giving himself up completely for our sake and for the sake of all. Having more, getting more, being more can never fill the hunger and the ache inside of each of us. Only that can be filled by emptying ourselves and making room for the wholeness in the mystery of God. Rachel Shrubus, whose book several of us are reading over the course of this season of Lent, reminds us on one of the days of this first week that it is better to find ourselves in the midst of the world longing for something more than it is to find ourselves apart from the world, longing to be trapped by it again. Or in the words of Emmylou Harris, we walk this road in trouble with an ache inside our souls. We can't hide it with religion, we can't buy it off with gold. And the pleasures we all reach for, they're just masters of disguise, while there is power in the glory of what lies right before our eyes. Oh, dear Maker, please forgive us. We've been lost and we've been blind, trying to fill the empty places while you've been waiting all the time. One true thing is all we want. One pure light to shine on through. Oh, dear Maker, please forgive us. We didn't know it was you. Amen.